Well, hey guys, welcome to my weekly Q&A. We are in the midst, we just began actually, a brand new series where I'm teaching from my book, Building a Relationship with God. I encourage you to get a copy of this. I'm going to be teaching on this for the next few weeks and doing a Q&A once a week on this topic. So it's great to have you here. Let's jump into these questions. Question number one, how far can we go in our relationship with God? I love this question. How far can we go? As far as the road goes, you can go as far as you want to with this. And, you know, I have a motorcycle here. I rarely use it. I was in my garage yesterday, my barn, just kind of charging this thing up over the winter. And I'm pretty safe. I don't really use it a lot, you know, just little country drives occasionally. But every now and then I like to get on the highway when it's clear and safe and everything's right and just twist that nozzle, you know, straight line. I don't do it for long, even for just like 1 or 2 minutes, and just push that thing as far as it will go. How far can we go with the Word of God? How far can we go with the Spirit of God? How far can we go in our relationship with God? Can I tell you, we can go as far as Jesus. We can go as far as all eternity. I don't think God has ever drawn a line in your life and said, this is as far as you can go in this life. Now, in eternity future, oh, it's going to be glorious. But right now, you've got a cap and a limit on your relationship with the Lord. When I was younger, I remember being 16 in the UK. And at the time, a 16-year-old could buy a motorcycle, but it had to be under, I think it was under 50 cc, and it had to have a limiter on it so it wouldn't go above 30 miles an hour. And I remember my father looking at once my motorcycle, and my father loved motorcycles, and he'd kind of smile and he'd go, you know what, Graham, if we put a different exhaust on that, it'd go a lot faster. And he got me this exhaust. It was really, really loud. But of course, because of it, it was louder because it was putting less resistance on the exhaust thing. So the fumes would come out faster and the thing would go quicker. And my dad, I remember looking at it saying, you know, Graham, if we change the gear system on it, it would give you less acceleration, but more top speed. And he said, let's do it. And suddenly my dad turned this 30 miles an hour, you know, tiny little motorcycle into the 65 miles an hour one. How cool is that? Come on, I tell you guys, if we can change the systems that religion has put upon our life, we can go so much further in God. Will we ever in this life explore all that we can, could, should be? Again, at a practical level, I probably want to say no, but I think we can. The Apostle Paul put it this way, he says, I haven't yet attained, but this one thing I do, I forget all my failures. I forget that which is past, and I press for the mark of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. I press for the very thing which has consumed my life. So I believe we can go as far as we want to in this life. And I believe the aim, the goal, and the mission of our life should be to go as far as we can in Christ Jesus. Selah. Good. Question number two. What are the roadblocks in living out a relationship with God? It's a great question. My only hesitation in answering this question is there are so many roadblocks. I think one of those roadblocks I just covered in the first question is that we don't have a vision. We limit ourselves. We put a block, a blinder, a limiter on our own relationship with the Lord. So there's a limit of our own expectation. Paul wrote in Philippians and he said that God's Spirit will minister to me according to the measure of my earnest expectation. And in a way, we get the relationship from God that we expect, that we believe for, that we hope for. So I think the limits of our own expectations. I think at times other people have come and drawn a line or a cap on where we can be in God. I think sin, and in a sense it's just as bad or possibly even worse, the consciousness of sin or a lack of righteousness consciousness is one of the biggest bars to a relationship with God. I think again, and we'll be teaching on this in the coming days, but our focus and our attention, filling our focus. You know, your spirit is in Christ Jesus. It's in heavenly places. It's of his fullness have you all received. He that is joined to the Lord is one spirit. And yet at a practical level, you're going to experience God to the level that your mind will. Jesus said, your mind is, he wrote in Jesus spoke, I should say. Matthew 15 says, you are not mindful of the things of God. Your mind is not full of the things of God. And he said that to Peter. And to the measure that our minds are full of the things of heaven, to that measure we can explore this relationship with God. You know, we're limited by the people we walk with. He walks with the wise will be wise. He walks with fools will be destroyed, the book of Proverbs say. So we're limited by circumstances, by things around us. Many limitations, but the Holy Spirit can show us those and take them off. That is the good news. Question number three, do we all have the same relationship with God? That is a really great question. And I want to answer yes and no. Question number four, no. Yes and no. In one sense, we all have the same relationship with God, and I'm going to get to this as a teacher of the book, because what's really happened in Christ is we've inherited Jesus' relationship with the Lord. I actually don't have my own personal relationship I've built with God. Rather, I've stepped into, I've received by inheritance, Jesus' relationship with God. My relationship with God is really Jesus' relationship with God. There's that glorious, that's a foundational truth. And yet within that truth, there are individual and glorious and like a snowflake, every single one is different. So in one sense, I spoke in an earlier lesson about a husband and wife who are loving each other and children are born into them, into that love, that marriage, that relationship. You know, like many of you, I have three children. All of my children have the same relationship with me. They're all 100% loved by me. They're all accepted. They're all valued. I'm committed to them. They are my sons and my daughter. Yeah, that's never going to change. And yet, all three of them have different relationships with me because they're different people. So it's kind of like both and, not either or, in terms of our relationship with the Lord. Question number four, is there a price we pay to build a relationship with God? Again, I want to be cute and say yes and no. I think Jesus paid the price for me to have a relationship with God. That's the foundational truth, the most important truth that we really need to grasp. Jesus paid the price that I might have a relationship with God. So is there any price? No, it's completely a free gift. Okay. Let me flip that coin around and look at it at another angle. There is a price, though, we need to pay. But that price, the price we pay is the price of not doing certain things, the price of reading God's word instead of watching TV, the price of hanging out with godly people rather than ungodly people, the price of choosing to do things which nourish my soul rather than simply entertain my emotions or feed my body or other things. Now, of course, ultimately, both in eternity and now, that's not a real price. Those are good things to do. And yet at the moment, let me put it this way. Long term, do you pay a price when you eat a healthy meal over an unhealthy one? Long term, you're not really paying a price. You're doing the right thing. But in the short term, when you're tempted, yeah, chocolate ice cream always looks more tempting to me than salad. Now, it's not, you know, a long-term solution. And in the same way, reading God's word takes more effort, more engagement. It could seem a little drier than maybe watching some great show or movie or whatever. I'm just giving an example here. And yet it's not. So there can be a price to pay when God says, put this down, lay this down, lay this down, that you may enter into all that I have for you. Selah. Boom. Question number five, how can we practically build a relationship with God? Well, grab a hold of my book, because it's called Building a Relationship with God. But again, I'm going to be teaching on this in the weeks to come, but you have a relationship with God. What you've got to do is practice your relationship with God. What you've got to do is discover the elements, the parts, the glories of that relationship that you already have. Mm-hmm. You know, it's interesting. So this week, I was born a British subject, a British citizen, if you will, 1969, and the year 2000, so 5 years ago, I became an American citizen, and just this week, about 3 days ago, I became a French citizen. Now, I've lived in France I went to live in France in 1992. I've been there a while. I speak French, lived there 20 years. I've owned a home in France for a lot longer. I still own one today. My wife is French. All my kids are French. So, you know, it just seemed, it was a formality, but for several years now I've been working away and gathering papers and passing an exam, and this week I became a French citizen, legally. It doesn't make me very French, I'm still very British. But the point I want you to get is this. How do I am French, but I could practice being a lot more French. I can step into that. I can have simply a legal status as a French person, or I can practice French life, learn French life, eat French, drive French, think French. And it's the same thing in the kingdom of God. So you have a relationship with God in Christ Jesus. You're in. Signed, sealed, and delivered. You're in. Yeah? You don't, you know, can you lose that? That's a different discussion, but I don't want to lose it, so I don't particularly want to have the discussion. My point is, you've got a relationship with God, but you've got to practice that relationship. You've got to embrace it. You've got to put it on as an identity. Put off the old man with all of its wicked ways and put on the new man created after him in righteousness and true holiness. So how do you practice this again? Many, many different ways, but by thinking, talking, and walking in the things of the kingdom of God. Guys, thanks for watching. Again, do grab a copy of this book, available on Amazon as a paperback or a digital download, and I know it will be a blessing to you. Sila, and drop me a line. I'd love to hear from you as you walk with the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Bye for now. Guys, again, thanks for watching. I'll be back tomorrow with another lesson. I really would encourage you, because it's life-changing, to pick up a copy of this book. Again, you gotta, Amazon will get it to you tomorrow in most countries, and I know this will be a blessing to you. Drop me a line if I can pray for you. I'd love to hear from you, and I'll be back tomorrow with another lesson. Bye for now.